back on Downtown, the home stretch on a Wednesday afternoon. Rich Kimble, Bruce Pratt here with you. Hopping on board the telephone line to welcome in our friend Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe. Hello there, Bob.
Well, hello. Nice to hear Les Paul and Mary Ford.
Well, we thought you'd appreciate that coming into the segment. A little classic there.
Very good. And How High the Moon, that is there. Maybe their signature song, really. Think about it.
Yeah, and we're such pioneers of that multi-tracking technique that became so popular later on.
Yep, and Les was a technical marvel, I guess. I guess all modern jazz guitarists look up to Les Paul in that regard.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little basketball first. Have you had any more than a passing interest in following the NBA Cup?
No, I'm disdainful of it. I don't care about it. I think it's preposterous. I think it's unneeded. I didn't watch the game last night. I watched North Carolina and Florida, and then I went to bed.
What about this Celtics team? Certainly playing some good basketball. We've talked with you about how deep they are. Have you seen any signs that anyone can really be a serious contender to take that championship away?
Oh, I'm prepared to take Cleveland very serious, and certainly I respect OKC. When they get Holmgren back, and no question, they don't sleep on Cleveland. And Milwaukee's got a pulse now, and who knows? Maybe they'll make a move somewhere along the way. They're not that deep, but Giannis is playing as well as he's ever played, and that's saying a lot given him. But look at his numbers. They're a historic trio of triple crown numbers. And he's just tremendous. And apparently whatever Doc's message was, it's getting through. And I'm happy for Doc as well, because you know I'm very proprietary toward Doc. But Cleveland's for real. That backcourt's terrific. Mobley is a very underrated and up-and-coming player, growth stock. I take them seriously, and I think they're well coached.
Every time I watch Derek White, I think that this is one of the great under the radar pickups the Celtics have had.
I'd say, in that regard, the gold standard was always for me. That regard was Don Nelson. Mm. They picked up Don Nelson for $100 waiver, not $1,000. And he was a guy in L.A. that scored a little bit, but as I recall, Heinsohn was telling me in those days that was a recommendation that he made to Red. I don't like to play against that guy, and Red took him seriously. But Derek White, yes, and I'll tell you the truth. When they picked him up, I was oblivious to him, and I had to look him up and say, "Oh my God, he scored 14 a game last year in San Antonio." I had no idea. This is at a point in history when San Antonio was off the radar. The championships were gone and they had receded, and you weren't paying attention to San Antonio if you're in Boston, Massachusetts. But obviously Brad Stevens was, and apparently Emi was Adoka was involved in this because he had coached in San Antonio, and he was a proponent of White. But White is right there with Nelson as one of the great pickups that the Celtics have ever had. When people, in that category, that you didn't really realize how good a guy was.
Bob, we thought about you a few weeks ago around Thanksgiving. The Maine Black Bears were playing in a tournament in Philly and got to play at the Palestra.
Well, that's my. I always said I want to be buried at midcourt in the Palestra, but I guess I'll have to wait in line. But yes, it's my favorite place to see a game of all time, and great memories of the Palestra going back to when I was we're coming up to an anniversary on January 8th, which is Elvis's birthday, but I was in 1954. I was there when Bob Schaefer set the then Palestra scoring record of 46 points, breaking a record set by his teammate Larry Hennessy only the year before, and so I go back, and I've been to Palestra 2 years before that, but that is my favorite basketball venue of all time.
We've got a level of excitement about college basketball here in Maine that I don't think we've ever seen before, centered around the young man who's taking care of business down at Duke. What do you think so far of young Cooper Flagg?
Well, he's not perfect. He's still got some, he's had some in and out games, but I know he had a real good one last night. And, he's the praise for him is universal. And the thing that was cited is that don't expect, well, you know, it's not about him going out and getting 35 a night necessarily. It's about him doing everything. It's about him playing basketball in a way that you're supposed to play basketball. In a way, I think it's, I'm not comparing him, but I'm saying it's in that discussion of Bird-type player, you know, and some, and that, may, that would be his aspiration, I think, is to get good enough to be discussed in the same breath as Larry Bird. But he's got an all-around game that you don't see as often, as polished at this age as he has.
It's not bad company. We're talking with Bob Ryan here on Downtown. The Red Sox have had a busier offseason than in the last couple of years, picking up a couple of new pitchers, especially young Garrett Crochet, apparently more on the shopping list. Are they headed in the right direction to be competitive?
Well, I mean, obviously, this is the first priority, was to get two pitchers. They got one. If he's the guy, I just find it not amusing, but interesting that we're in 2024, and we're slobbering over this guy who barely threw him 200 innings, you know, and like most, he's got an injury history, don't they all?
Mm.
And this is where we are. But they needed to bolster. Obviously, they needed to beef up the rotation. And they say they're not done, and there's names being thrown around, and we'll see. But Craig Breslow talked the talk on behalf of his higher ups, and he's starting to walk the walk by certainly by the acquisition of Crochet. And the thing that, though, has to be stressed, not stressed, but remembered, as whatever moves he makes, if they involve that farm system, is that, this is a Chaim Bloom legacy. You know, there were a lot of things wrong with what Chaim Bloom did, but they have some prime prospects. And they didn't have to raid the store too severely. They gave up Teal, the catcher, but they still got some prime prospects left, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with these guys. And already I'm very bullish on Duran. I'm bullish on Casas, and I love Abreu. And if Abreu has to be sacrificed in a deal, okay, that's a good chip.
I was happy to see Dave Parker and Dick Allen selected for the Baseball Hall of Fame, but once again, Louis Tien on the outside looking in. I don't understand.
Well, people, I don't know how many games they wanted him to win. He's got the same on-paper resume as Drysdale and a few others, and he has an extra added layer of being, and I think it matters, but apparently not enough to the committee, that he was a showman, he was an entertainer, he was a fun figure, he was a special kind of player, not just an efficiently talented one, but he brought something else to the game, and I think it set him apart and from guys that have similar records. And it's just one of those, that's too bad. It doesn't look like it's ever going to happen, and that's a shame. And, of course, was actually on record that he didn't want it to happen after he died. Mm. I guess his family is kind of okay with that.
Do you think Dwight Evans belongs, and do you think he'll get there at some point?
I think he's in the Hall of Very Good. I wouldn't go to the mattress on Dwight Evans. If he got in, fine. I'd applaud it. Half good for Dewey. Dewey was had an interesting career, a couple of things separate him. One of it is that he's one of the very small number of players in the history of the league players of consequence, whose second half of his career was better than his first.
Right.
That the resume is built on his 30s rather than his 20s. And look at Mike Trout, for example, and there's others, many, 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 many others in that category that they're, you could see the not so deterioration, but the lessening of accomplishment as they got older. Dewey got better in the 30s than he was in his 20s. His calling card, too, of those eight, I think it's eight gold gloves, however many, as well as his all-around game. But I don't think you have to go crazy about Louis. He not getting in. It'd be nice for him, but I think he's the Hall of Very Good. That's all.
Bob, you've been around. You've heard some things. Have you ever heard a dumber idea than this discussion about the golden at bat?
Very few dumber ideas. It's certainly it's silly, just not necessary. What is going on? I don't know. I don't understand Rob Manfred at all in any way, and to think that, that's necessary. I guess, are they panicking? They think they've got to rewrite the game to acquire a new fandom. Is that it? Is that the reason for this nonsense? I'm appalled. And so, no, I don't want any part of the golden at bat.
I feel like he's not really a baseball guy, that if you dug deep enough, you'd find out that he really wasn't a baseball fan growing up.
Well, people, yeah, that's a very popular theory. You know, people kiddingly say that, you know, he must hate baseball. I know this, that his predecessor, whatever his foibles, Bud Selig, the thing he would most like to do on this earth is go to a Sunday doubleheader. He loved baseball. There's no question he passionately loved baseball. But he had business things he had to attend to and Manfred, you know, remember what the commissioner is. He's an employee of the owners and making money for them any way they can kind of do it. You know, like the television policy was appalling. The games that have been sacrificed out to streaming, they were wedded with this. I guess they figured this generation, and nobody, the cable TV's on the way out. TV's on the way out, in a sense, you know, as we knew it. That society changes. But I'm not a big fan of Bob Manfred, no.
We always like to talk a little music. Well, and often, Bob, we ask you about Sinatra, but I want to talk Beatles because I know you're a big Beatles fan as well. I might not want to ask you the best and have to make that judgment, but what's your favorite Beatles song?
My favorite Beatles song is The Things We Said Today. I'm steadfast on that. And I just love that song. I love the sound of it. I love everything about it. I like the words. I like it. And Paul Rossoli wrote that on a yacht in the Mediterranean. I believe that's his folklore that comes to that. But that's my favorite. And it was funny when SiriusXM did, they do it every year, but when they first did a top 100 Beatles songs from a fan vote a couple of years ago, after the first year of its existence, the Beatles Channel at number 18 on Sirius, my favorite song came in at number 65.
Wow.
So I guess, but the thing about the Beatles, you need 100. Just them. They are in the history of the rock and roll era, which began on or about the mid 54 or so, the rock and roll era that we now know. They're the most prolific group. Nobody touches their Mac, even the Stones, who have a lot of great songs, but they don't have the number. Nobody has the number of excellent songs that the Beatles had. And I mean, I'll argue that to the death. I don't think there's any competition for that at all.
How was the feedback to your wonderful special on the Great American Songbook?
Not what I hoped for, frankly.
Well, that's too bad. It should have been.
I didn't get a whole lot of feedback, and I'm just still thrilled and honored to have had a chance to have done it. Thanking Lou Simon at Sirius for giving me the opportunity, and. It didn't exactly shake the earth, I'm afraid, but I was proud to have done it.
Well, and it was great. We sure enjoyed it here. Bob, always great to talk with you. Thanks, as always, for making some time for us. Hope you have a wonderful holiday, and we look forward to talking with you in the new year and whatever iteration of the show we've got here.
Very good. Okay, great. And I wish all the happy holidays to all your listeners as well.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Be well.
Bye-bye.
That's Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown.